Podtacular, episode 426, pre-E3 2014 show, for June 5th, 2014. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, The Storm, and this week we are Brentless. He had some family issues to attend to, so he would not be on the show this week, but we have a couple of other people who have been on the show before. Godzilla Todd is back in the hot seat. Welcome back.
Hello, everybody. Fresh with a new microphone, too.
Yeah, and you kind of attained a certain status here at Podtacular now.
A small upgrade, yes.
Small upgrade. For those who haven't been on the forums, he is the official event coordinator for Podtacular. That means he's on staff and he gets to come on the show to kind of help backfill whenever Prince is not here. So he's officially on staff and he's been running the Wacky Wednesdays when I haven't been able to get there. So major props to him for keeping that hunkered down for a while. And the other person that we have on is Blue Am Cat. Welcome.
Hey, y'all. Thanks. Good to be back.
Yes, it's good to have everyone back here. It kind of sucks that Brent's not here. I know he wanted to talk some stuff about what's going to be going on at E3, but I'm sure we'll have a lot of opportunities to talk during E3. We'll probably have some live shows that we'll do then. We'll have probably something to publish every day of E3. Very likely. So there is going to be plenty of content, but we want to take an opportunity to talk about what we want to see at E3. There's going to be lots of stuff. There's already lots of rumors of what we will see, stuff along the lines of Halo 2 Anniversary, the Master Chief Collection, stuff on maybe another spin-off game like Halo Wars 2 or Halo Spartan Assault 2, info about the video productions and all that kind of stuff, which we'll dive into a little bit later here in the show. But first things first, we always have the weekly bulletin to go through. And starting off is a lot of the E3 stuff, again, which we'll get into a little bit later. But right after that, we have the changeover of the Twitter account. So the Halo Twitter was originally Halo Waypoint, at Halo Waypoint, and they've moved that over to just at Halo. So kind of changing up the site a little bit, changing up their social medias to reflect some new direction that Halo is going in over the next couple of years. So update your Twitters. Make sure you're following the new at Halo on Twitter to make sure you have the most up-to-date info on Halo. There's going to be lots of E3 stuff that's going to be posted throughout the week next week. So make sure that you tune into the Facebook, tune in to their website, their Twitter, and all that stuff to get the info that they're going to be dumping on us, because there's going to be a lot of stuff. They have a lot of things planned for the Xbox One media briefing, and I'm sure they're going to be showing quite a few things on the floor as well. It's not something you're going to want to miss. And I know I am definitely excited. Are you guys excited to see what they're going to be showing off?
Oh, for sure. I am.
Oh, yeah. I'm already starting to vibrate in anticipation. I'll have to keep my notifications turned down low for the next 5 days so I don't drive my coworkers nuts with my phone.
Yeah, it'll be basically nonstop. I'm going to have to modify my notifications as well. Even if I don't get very good signal, there's probably still a chance that I'm going to be flooded with notifications from Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. E3 is definitely a big one, guys. For those who maybe don't know exactly what E3 is, it's probably the biggest gaming event of the year. So that's why there's so much talk about it already. That's why there's going to be lots of Halo announcements to be coming during E3, and overall why I am so excited and so blessed to be going to E3 this year. But next up on the bulletin is a partnership between Halo and Astro. So for those that are kind of into the competitive scene for Halo and that have followed MLG around for the last few years, you know that Astro's is probably one of the preferred gaming headsets when it comes to giving you the best audio quality and giving you those subtle sounds that really help give you that 3D experience and help you identify where your enemies are coming from. A lot of pros use Astro's. They're definitely run on the pricey side, but Halo is partnering up with Astro Gaming to get some Halo branded stuff coming out for some of their future releases. So we will likely see Halo 5 branded Astros, stickers, accessories, all that stuff, and then whatever other things they decide to announce, they're going to get be able to give some themed hardware as well. So this is pretty exciting. I don't have a set of Astros. I've been looking for a reason to get a set of Astros. So
I'm trying to help
this,
you with that.
I know you have been.
I need to get the speaker tags, not stickers.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, speaker tags at actual Astros and some other things. I didn't know this, but apparently Astros is a division of Skullcandy.
I didn't know that either. So weird.
I know. We will get some other things probably other than just the Astro stuff, because Skullcandy makes quite a few different things other than, I guess, just the headset from Astros.
Yeah, they do. Oh, you know what? You can also make your own Podtacular speaker tags.
Ooh. I have thought about that at one point. I have to have a set of Astros first, though.
That would be cool. Yes. We'll get you some soon.
One step at a time here. One step at a time. So that's pretty cool information. I know Bravo, he made the original post about it yesterday when he posted the news article, and he was very, very happy to see this partnership go through. I know a lot of other pros are really looking forward to this, and it'll be a good reason for me to finally go out and get some Astros. So I am very happy for this. It's going to be interesting to see how much they run for, because they are pricey. But I think since it's Halo, I might be willing to spend a little bit extra.
Yeah, hopefully they're not more than retail, because they're already expensive, but we'll see.
Well, I probably will go out and buy a set. I mean, if I can blow $150 on a video game with a statue, I think I could probably swing a set of headphones eventually.
True.
Yeah.
Of course, I might be sleeping on the couch for a while, but hey, almost worth it.
You did what?
You spent how much on a set of headphones?
But they're Astros.
No, I have been very blessed with a wife that understands. I let her go off on her shopping sprees, and I don't say nothing. So it's a give.
Yeah, my sprees include video game stuff too. So my husband's pretty good about it.
That's always a plus when you both have the same interests.
Yes, indeed.
Now I feel like the odd man out for not being in any kind of relationship whatsoever.
Well, you have your roommate.
Yeah, that's not here half the time.
Well, isn't that the best kind of relationship?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I'm going to say sometimes.
I have people that are my friends that they are married, and they are happier when they're separate. When they don't have a lot of one-on-one time.
Yeah, but it's a different kind of relationship.
Well, you do need your own time too. It works both ways.
Yes,
but you can get your own time when you have the surround sound experience of Astros. Eh? Anyone like that segue?
Nice.
Next up on the bulletin is Halo Spartan Assault free on Xbox One for Gold members. They rolled out Games for Gold on the Xbox One platform this past week, and Spartan Assault is one of the two free games. Along with Max Curse of Brotherhood on the Xbox One platform. So if you have an Xbox One and haven't picked up Halo Spartan Assault yet, go download it. If you download it this month, then you have it for the lifetime of your gold subscription. So if you keep your gold going, then that means you can play Halo Spartan Assault for free. If you let it expire, then you can't play it, obviously. A little bit different than how it was with the Xbox 360 version of Game for Gold, but it's essentially the same thing. If you're have gold at this point and you're looking to get these games, you're probably going to have gold in the future. So grab your copy if you haven't done so already, and happy hunting.
Yes.
Oh, and honestly, it works.
I have both games. They are excellent.
True. It even works if you don't currently have an Xbox One. Once they log that purchase, when you get your Xbox One, it should still be in your games history where you can download it.
That's a good point. So if you go online to the Xbox store through Xbox.com, then you can purchase it there, and then it'll be available for download when you get your Xbox. But you have to have gold. So if you have a 360 and you have gold and you want to purchase it for later, like Godzilla said, then you can do that.
Yep, you should do it right now. Turn on your Xbox and go download them right now. or go to your PC, whatever.
Yeah, go to the PC, reserve your copy. Last thing on the bulletin, of course, is the screenshot spotlight. So we have King of the Hill for this week. Lots of gray themed in here, which is very interesting. But I'm going to have to pick a couple favorites. I'm going to say, for me, Wander by Top Sniper 707. Welcome to the UNSC by DeLuca 34. And A Memory of Being Alone by Omega Maddox.
I should look up the bulletin real quick so I can see. I'm so bad at that, looking at that every
day. Nah, that's
I'm
cool.
I'm so busy, though. Seriously.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir over here.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
So,
let's see. I like Linda 058. Let's see. I do like Wander. That's a good one.
Oh, hey. One of my friends has one up here today. Static. I like that one a lot. I love Black Bubba. Very cool.
Nice. Nice.
They all look really good, though. I like the black and white theme we went with this week. I mean, probably not on purpose, but it looks cool.
I don't know. It seems like it's very purposeful with how it's all the same color theme, but
know,
that's just
right?
me. Yeah.
Kind of fun.
So, cool. Well, that's it for the bulletin this week. Not too much in terms of news. Of course, this is kind of the calm before the storm for E3. We're going to get lots of information next week, so it's good to have this break in the news before we just get overwhelmed with E3 news, which we're here to talk about. So let's kind of dive into some of the stuff that we already know and that from rumors is going to be at E3. So they already announced Halo 5 Guardians, so there's not going to be that announcement. There's not likely going to be many details about it, other than people think we may get a release date, which it seems a little far out to have a release date set in mind. So I'm going to say probably X and A on that, and probably not a lot of information regarding Halo 5.
Yeah, they already gave us all, so I don't think we'll get a new one yet, or a release date yet.
Well, they could give some kind of trailer.
Yeah, that would be cool.
They did that for Halo 4, so I'm kind of at the point where the trailer for last year's E3 was more of them announcing this new journey that they're doing with Halo, and not specifically Halo 5. So we may get a Halo 5 Guardians trailer at E3. So I could see that being a possibility, but I don't think we're going to get many more details outside of what would be in the trailer at E3 for Halo 5.
Yes. That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah. For the stuff that we will see, everyone is pretty much expecting a Halo 2 anniversary. It's been going around the internet for how many months now? And a lot of the rumors that have been posted out, especially the big NeoGAF one, has come true. So as far as a Halo 2 anniversary is expecting, we are expecting that announcement with the coupled Halo 5 beta in that as well. There's also been this rumor of the Master Chief Collection going around. There's been certain ways that that information was released where it seems like it's probably going to happen, although I think a lot of people don't exactly quite see it where, at least for me, I think it's going to be a series of ports. So Halo CE Anniversary, Halo 3, and Halo 4 would be ports, where Halo 2 Anniversary would be rebuilt for the Xbox One platform with the updated graphics engine and the minor tweaks that it would take to get it to run on the new Xbox Live system.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be my guess for that.
Yeah, the big question is, if they do the collection, what are they going to do for multiplayer? Are they going to have their own standalone multiplayer? Or are they going to try to tack it on to Halo 4's multiplayer?
So a lot of people want to see the Halo 2 multiplayer basically cut and paste with the graphics update. They don't want to see anything change. A lot of people want to see the super balances still there, which I honestly don't care for, and I personally think they should be removed. But as far as that multiplayer experience, they want as much of the vanilla experience from Halo 2 as possible. A lot of people were not very happy with what they did with Halo CE Anniversary, and they redid the maps into the Halo Reach engine. Now, if they're doing Halo 2 Anniversary on the Xbox One, then they're probably going to do a mix, I would probably say a mix of mostly the Halo 2 engine and probably adapt a few things from the Halo 4 engine, just from maybe upgrading the graphics from that engine, but
stack one engine on top of another like they did in CE Anniversary.
Yeah, and they
have running the updated graphics engine on top of the original.
Right. Although I think from a multiplayer perspective, they may just take out the ability to do the engine switching during a game, because that would be really distracting.
Oh, talk about Lag City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would almost think from the perspective of multiplayer, you would only want to have one running. I don't think you would want, because of the way that the graphics and the geometry would be interpolated, and the way that geometry was in Halo 2, it was very rigid compared to a lot of the stuff that you can do with current hardware. So I think there's going to be a little bit of graphics retexturing and maybe smoothing out some of the surfaces in the maps, which I think would take away a lot of the super bouncing.
Yeah. I saw a post, and I apologize to the person that posted it because I don't remember where I saw it. But it was a blend of all four multiplayers. Basically, you would enter a lobby, pick your game type. I want to play Slayer. Okay, you go in there, it searches, finds players, and then it gives you a voting option. You could give it give you Slayer, Blood Gulch, CE, Slayer on, and I can't think of a Halo 2 map now.
Coagulation.
Or, you know, pick, you know, another one for Halo 3. Valhalla. And, you know, and they would, Valhalla. And, you know, then the players in the lobby would vote for the, you know, the map and multiplayer they wanted to play.
So the only thing I have with that is you'd almost have to be redesigning a complete experience and having all those games linked into one kind of game that you can dynamically load all those different engines, because there's a lot of preloading that happens with whenever you boot up into a game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what the point was with the dedicated servers, they were thinking that the lobby could be shifted from one server to another to accommodate, CE play or Halo 2 play or Halo 3 play.
The server only is a part of it, though. There's a lot of the client side that you have to load. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be very taxing, and it would take a lot of time just to... So, like, if you were in a lobby and you were deciding between a game, it would take an additional 30 seconds just to load that specific game engine and then that map and then get into a game. And there's not enough dev time, really, unless they've hired on three different studios to work on each game for the last 2 years. There's no way they're going to be re-engineering every single game that's going to be part of that Master Chief Collection. So that's why I think it's just going to be the ports for all the Xbox 360 games and then the remake for the Halo 2 game.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's just, a dress up as far as the multiplayer, just a dress up of the Halo 2 multiplayer. Make it look good, leave it pretty much play the same. I'm with you, Dust. The super bounces, I was never capable of doing them, so they could stay or go, and I wouldn't notice.
same here. So bad.
Yeah, I actually spent was like 3 hours trying to do a super bounce, and I got it to work once.
Wow! Yeah.
Don't get me wrong; it was really cool, but I was able to do it once, and I was not able to repeat it.
Yeah. As far as those kind of super bounces, I was able to figure out a few of them, and I could do a couple of them on a consistent basis, like the one on Zanzibar with the broken glass. That one was probably one of the easier ones to do from a super bounce perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the one on Ascension a couple of times. But as far as the remakes go, I think everyone is just expecting a Halo 2 Anniversary remake, and that's all they need to worry about. And that's probably the only thing that they're going to be announcing.
I hope so.
with the port.
I was like, move forward, not back.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't want to keep going back.
Right. And another reason why I think they're going to do the ports instead is because you have what Xbox said is that they were going to try to do ports of the popular games at some point for the Xbox One. So this would be a good way to kind of start that program and get those older games up on the console. So it'd be like the Nintendo Store, how they have it on the Wii. It'd probably be the same thing where you could go and buy those digital downloads. It's kind of like how you could do with some of the Xbox originals on the 360. Like, I bought Halo CE and downloaded it through the Xbox Live Marketplace to play on Xbox.
Same here.
So it's probably something very similar to that.
Yeah. The only thing as far as doing that is I hope they still that the chat system is still available with the older games. Because, you know, like on 360, if you were playing an original Xbox game, you didn't have access to party chat or messages or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. That was a bummer.
Because, yeah, well, I mean, there's two generations of games. You know, yeah. The game wasn't originally built with that in mind. But seeing that the 360's games did get built with that in mind, I'm hoping that they can move that to the Xbox One system and still have it available. Because, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons I bought Anniversary, other than it was Anniversary, is, you know, when I wanted to play CE, I wanted to still be able to chat with my friends, you know, if they were on, you know, be in a party chat or, you know, just communicate back and forth with text message. So I hope that they do that for the, if they do bring all those games over, that they do modify them to where they work with the new chat and the voice chat and text chat system.
Right.
Sorry, we're distracted. Yes.
I'm just kind of thinking back to Halo. I mean, the Halo 2 is a perfect example of that, though, where you went and played Halo 2 on the Xbox 360, and while you could connect to live after you got into Halo 2, you had to do all your message management and all the voice stuff within the Halo 2 game. You couldn't go to your dashboard and do messages and or anything.
Right.
So, it's those kind of little things, though, that I could see them redesigning parts of the game to adapt to the new Xbox Live infrastructure, but I don't see them, I definitely don't see them remaking games. I don't see them remaking Halo CE, Halo 3, and Halo 4. It's, if anything, if this Master Chief Collection is real, they're going to be ports. That's just plain and simple. That's how it's going to be.
Well, you know, of those three games, Halo 4 should be the easiest one to move over. As far as,
well, it would be just as easy as Halo CE Anniversary and Halo 3. I mean, they run off of the same Xbox infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So you move one of those over, you can move the other two over. It's just the Halo 2 Anniversary piece that would be new. And a lot of people are expecting it.
I am.
Oh, I'm definitely. I am looking forward to it. Although there are some people out there that really do not care to see a remake because they've already played Halo 2, and if they wanted to play Halo 2, they could go back. But there are a lot of people out there that would like to see Halo 2 come back because that was the game they got started on. That was the game they liked the most. And to be able to play that on live again outside of the PC that's currently available until July 1st, then you get that experience. And all in all, it would actually help 343 out if they were to do the multiplayer experience where it's a copy over with an updated graphics engine and just leave it at that. Don't touch anything else. Like, everyone wants it. They want vanilla Halo. Well, I take that back. They want the updated Halo 2 game from multiplayer perspective up until they finally stop releasing updates with that ported over with new graphics. So,
yeah, they want the final version of the multiplayer with updated graphics.
Pretty much. Thank you. That was a very good. That was the succinctness that I needed right there. Thank you very much. So that's
translation for dust provided by Godzilla. Oh,
thank you. Yep.
The public know what they want. Knows what they want.
So that's the first thing that we could see. Second thing that we could possibly see is information regarding the Halo digital feature and the Halo TV show. The digital feature is being produced by Ridley Scott and is going to be out later this year. And then the TV show is being done by Steven Spielberg, which is going to be airing on Showtime and Xbox Originals next year. So we've had a little bit of information drop on the digital feature so far. We do know one actor that's going to be in there who's going to be playing a Spartan by the name of Marlowe. How this plays into Halo 5 is yet to be seen, but is it possible that Marlowe could be that Oni Spartan that we saw?
Possibly.
I'm gonna start the rumor mill right there.
Possibly.
I don't know who that is.
I think Marlowe is gonna be an older Spartan. The one in the box art, or the art that they released, looked to be a younger Spartan. Much younger than Master Chief, and I think that's part of the reason. With the help of some of the people on the forums, I think that is the reason that he looks so trim, and why a lot of people mistook the new Spartan for a female Spartan, just because, you know, he's not as mature as Master Chief, because after years of carrying that armor and, you know, the physical working, he's, you know, bulked up over time, you know, even right. further than when he was, when he first got his Mjolnir. So I'm thinking that he might be a younger Spartan. And from what I have seen so far on the series, Marlowe looks to be, more, you know, older than what I think he would be, but it's still possible. It's one of those deals you won't know until you see him the first time.
Right. And I really don't think he's going to be Marlowe, because looking at how Oni is and the short description that they gave of Marlowe, who's kind of not exactly approving of what they're doing, then it definitely seems like Marlowe's not going to be it. I just kind of threw that out there to see how people would respond. I doubt it would be Marlowe, because just from the short bio that we have of him so far. You never know, though. But we're going to get information on that very likely, because it's coming out later this year. There's going to be, I mean, we're looking for information, and they want to kind of promote it. So I think this is going to be a good platform for them to really address some of the questions that people will have about the digital feature. Maybe what the story is a little bit more, probably see a trailer or some piece of video from maybe the production that's going on. Although it is a little early on, I think they just started production of it last month, so there might not actually be anything to show for it, but we could see a trailer of some kind for the digital feature. I think that'd be pretty cool. Or maybe we get just someone up there talking about what's going to be shown off in the digital feature. That one's going to be more like Fortnum to Dawn, too, from what people are kind of guesstimating and what people are have concluded. So it would be another short little thing like that. A few episodes long, maybe, and put together into one package, maybe later on when it goes out on Blu-ray or something like that. Versus the TV show, which people are expecting to get some information from that as well, but we're not exactly sure. Well, I'm not exactly sure what we're going to see on that. There's lots of different things that they could show off for that coming down the road. What do you guys think? What would you like to see out of the Halo TV series from maybe possible information about that?
A base storyline? Or
yeah, maybe, or maybe just a hint. I don't want huge spoilers before I see it.
Yeah, you know, don't tell me the whole thing, but kind of point me in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, same for the digital feature. You know, like they did with Forward Unto Dawn, they kind of gave you the little, you know, short films that kind of pointed you in the direction of what, you know, the way the story's going to go.
Oh, yeah, for Halo 4.
You know, they didn't really give anything away on it, but they kind of, you know, they told you that, you know, you're watching the story of Lasky when he was a cadet. And that, you know, this is where he met Master Chief. You know, they didn't really give everything away as to what happened there, but, you know, they kind of gave you an idea. Okay, well, this is going to take place in roughly this time period, and we know it's going to be at, you know, this academy And I would say the name, but I would butcher it and make everybody mad. So
Corpulo.
Corpulo.
Thank you. You know, I liked that. You know, they gave me information, but they didn't give away the whole, you know, the whole storyline. I would like to see them like that for the digital feature and the TV show. Along with, you know, a actual Halo 5 Guardians trailer. Which hopefully they will, you know, show an actual trailer for the game.
Yeah, makes sense. I would like to see them do something along the lines of what you guys said. This kind of tease a little bit of, give us a little of idea of maybe when this is happening in the Halo universe. And a lot of people in the chat are kind of asking the same thing, is kind of let us know when these are going to be happening and give us just a tidbit of what the plot might be or what the story is. Now, a few people in here said that they didn't want to see a crossover between the games and the media, and I think it's hard to get away from it at that point because the Halo universe is so vast. There is a lot of interconnecting pieces now that it would be hard to separate it, but I think there's definitely better ways to introduce and catch people up on what's happened within the Halo universe for Halo 5 Guardians. There's a lot of gaps between the books that came out and Halo 4, and I think they can do a lot better job. And I've heard little snippets of people kind of rumoring that they would do a lot better job with kind of catching people up on what's the important stuff with Halo 5. And I think that's something that they would really look to do because of how many people were confused with Halo 4, Halo 4's story as it related to the book. And I think from the perspective of what we can see actually happen in the series, again, not too much information on what the plot is, but give us something that helps set the time frame so we kind of get a general idea of what's going to happen. That way we can get excited about it.
Oh, yeah, totally. I feel like with this new trilogy, too, like they kind of can start over. Not completely, obviously, because of all the backstory, but they can kind of start new with what they do and kind of where they can take it, which is really cool to me. I'm excited about that.
And there's a lot of different stories that we can really dive into because there are other Spartans, other Spartan 2s that are still out there.
Yeah.
And the universe is vast enough to where they can do something like you said, where they could basically start on something new and integrate it into the whole mythos of Halo. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they're going to do that or they should do that, I would say they probably want to do something that you can connect pretty quickly into the existing universe, not start out with something that is completely separate and then kind of tie it in over time.
Right.
I think there's a lot that's already set up there where you could branch out into some of these things. And I think a good example of that is what they've done with Sarah Palmer, how they had her in the campaign. They really expanded on her in Spartan Ops and then basically gave her a game and a comic book dedicated to her. With Spartan Assault and a couple of the comics that are already out there. So they could do spinoffs like that. They could maybe highlight some smaller named characters that have come up in the past but haven't really been had in the story assigned to them. Or they could do with something that I think what they're doing with Marlo is like there is this other character that's in the universe but it's just never been touched on before.
Yeah. I'd love to see them continue Gray Team's story from the Cole Protocol. I'd like to know what they did after they got that Prowler. you know, as far as stuff that's existing in the universe. But yeah, new characters. I would love to see them introduce new characters. A lot of people didn't like Sarah Palmer when she first showed up in Halo 4. Personally, I was a big fan. I see what people don't like, but it was something that just didn't bother me. But from what I've read about the comics, I read Initiation, or not Initiation.
Yep. Well, that's the first one.
Yeah, Initiation. You know, they started really developing her character a lot more. And, you know, from what I understand in the escalation, they've pushed that even further. I'm hoping to catch up on that reading here pretty soon. So I can see where, you know, where her story is going from there, along with the rest of
the crew of the Infinity.
I'm planning to do some of that reading on my flights to E3 and from E3. So hopefully I'll be able to catch up on a lot of the stuff to have those lore podcasts that everyone has been asking for.
And I keep saying I'm going to read them all, but I just haven't gotten to it. I've only read like the first installment of, what was that first comic?
Sarah Paul. Initiation.
Yeah, that one.
I cheated. I bought the hardcover.
I bought the hardcover as well.
I should probably just do that at this point.
And it's not that long, really, so it should be something that I can relatively get through. But there are some of the other books that we need to finish, too, like the Forerunner Trilogy and the Kilofat Trilogy. We've done the first books of both of those, and we just need to finish them. So I'll be rereading certain parts of, Silentium. Because most of that book is just filler, and then the last three or four chapters are the juicy bits that really matter to the Halo universe.
No, you're talking about Primordium.
Is it Primordium, second one? I always get those confused. Book. Okay, yes, Primordium. And I actually need to still read Mortal Dictata and Silentium, so I'll probably read those if I have the time during that trip as well. As far as other stuff that we can see at E3, there's rumors of maybe a Halo Wars 2 or a Halo Spartan Assault-ish type of game, or possibly, people have been asking for a Spartan Ops 2, which I think the Spartan Ops is a little unlikely at this point. I think Halo 4 is kind of on the back burners, and they're just maintaining it for matchmaking at this point, and really starting to work on Halo 5, especially that they've announced it. They could possibly be working on it for Halo 5, but I don't think we would see the Spartan Ops Season 2 in Halo 4 or before Halo 5 comes out.
Yeah, their main focus is Halo 5 right now, as far as, you know, new production. As much as I'd love to see a Spartan Ops Season 2, once Halo 5 is out, I think the only feasible place to put it is in Halo 5, if they're going to do it. A lot of people, I might be dead wrong, a lot of people may go back to Halo 4 to play a Season 2. I know I would, but...
Yeah, me too.
I think as far as population numbers for the new game, that they would want to put it there instead of in their previous game.
The only thing that you need to consider when you do that, though, is Halo 5 is going to be focusing on Chief's new journey. And mm-hmm. I feel that that's going to be a pretty separate piece of storyline of what we've got with Halo 4, that Halo or Spartan Ops 2 might not exactly fit with that game. And there has been some speculation going about, because Halo 5 has a subtitle, Guardians, if that is an indicative of something like Halo 3 ODST, where Halo 5 Guardians might be Master Chief storyline, where we might see a Halo 5 other subtitled game, where maybe that is a continuation of Spartan Ops. Now, that is very, very high speculation. I wouldn't take that for any kind of worthy, just that's how it is kind of thing. But to speculate, to just generate some discussion here, if they were to do something like that, I think that would be a good way to cover different parts of the universe. Now, from the perspective of selling a game, from a business perspective, I don't think that would be something that 343 would be interested in. I think Master Chief right now is their moneymaker, so they want to focus on the Master Chief games. But when it comes to the point where maybe Master Chief is kind of slowly taken out of the picture a little bit with maybe this new Spartan, then that may give way to do something like a Spartan Ops 2 in a separate kind of title. But yeah. I don't think we're there yet.
Well, I mean, they could again do, you know, like they did in Halo 4 and make it the firefight mode for Halo 5. Of course, we don't know if they're going to use firefight or they're going to use a Spartan Ops or they're going to come up with something totally brand new. Which, you know, I would, you know, me, firefight, Spartan Ops, either one I'd be happy with. You know, as long as You know, if it was a Spartan Ops, that it fits within the storyline of Halo 5. That it at least addresses the ending of Season 1. And it could be something just as simple as an opening video to get you from the ending of the Season 1 into the beginning of Season 2. If it's Firefight, the only suggestion I would have is, as far as in the Firefight lobbies, more rotation in the game types. And if they do challenges again, more rotation on the challenges. Some of those challenges kind of started getting old after a while.
Yeah, you know, they did.
Kill 150 grunts. Okay. That's one game of Gruntpocalypse.
Right. Yeah.
Kill 40 elites. Okay. Well, that's two games of, what was it?
Normal Firefight or whatever.
No, it was there. They had another one that you could go in by yourself. It had a whole wave of elite, an arcade. Two games of that and you'd complete that. Just more variety on the challenges, and change the maps up and the game types. I mean, don't get me wrong, Gruntpocalypse is fun. It's always fun to hear a grunt's head explode.
Whee! Yeah.
Yay!
You know,
especially if you have the grunt birthday party skull on.
Oh yeah, it's always a blast. But give me something more. Change the enemies up. Just rotate things. I mean, you can have your standbys like Gruntpocalypse, in there, but, give me more options, because there was really only like two or three different types of Firefight as far as in the matchmaking that I like to play.
Mm-hmm.
A Mythic is not one of them.
Yeah.
Well, unless I had three other people, but by myself, no. If they do that, then it'd be great. I could get into Firefight again. I still fire up Breach every once in a while and go get me around a Grunt birthday party in. Always makes me feel better.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things a lot of people have been asking for, kind of being bring back. I do want to kind of pull it back to the Spartan Ops thing, though. And Halo Collector mentioned this in the chat, and I was actually thinking of this, too, where it could possibly be tying directly into the game. So maybe you start out the game as kind of what resulted at the end of Spartan Ops, because it basically was an extension of the campaign as you played it. The campaign just ended with where Master Chief's story ended for that time period. So depending on how they make the game, you could be coming in as someone else other than Master Chief, and maybe as a result of what happened there, there's going to be some filler, maybe with some cutscenes at the beginning, and then you come in as this Oni Spartan because of what you did in Spartan Ops, and then somehow that joins up with Master Chief. And that was one of the things that we talked about on the Halo 5 announcement podcast. Someone mentioned in our party, coming in as that Spartan, you start to play as that Spartan, then you go and find Chief, and then it's kind of a back and forth thing. I think Green Skull was the one that mentioned that.
Yeah,
so it could be something like that, where you have this dynamic of Spartan Ops is basically the leading end into Halo 5 campaign, and then over time you find Master Chief, and then that's when you really start to dive into where Master Chief is. And Halo Escalation is going to be filling a lot of the information between Halo 4 and Halo 5, so we'll get more of that revealed on how they're setting up Halo 5's campaign.
That would be really cool. I remember that conversation. I was like, yes, I want this. And I totally forgot about it. Now that you mentioned it again, yes, that would be epic.
That show was probably one of our most downloaded shows in a while. I think it had over 10,000 downloads. So,
oh, wow.
Wow.
It was a popular show. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about, and there's definitely a more podcast to be had just on that one topic. Just the idea of who that Spartan is and where we could go with the campaign. What could be the end result of the Halo 5 story as well and leading into Halo 6. But as far as, Spartan Ops is concerned, I think we can see some tie into Halo 5. I just don't know how exactly it would be coming in that regard.
Well, the only way I can see them doing it without doing an actual Spartan Ops season is to just, you know, have like a 5-minute video at the beginning of the game. You know, when you first load the game in, you know, either before or after you create your, profile in the game, you know, it's like when you threw Halo 4 in that first time, you had that nice,
it was like a couple minute video, right?
Yeah, a couple minute video that ran before you even got to the menu screen.
Yeah, which was awesome.
And, you know, and that's the only time it ran, is the first time you loaded the game up.
Yeah, that makes sense. And someone actually mentioned that on our, again, Halo 5 announcement podcast. I don't think it was Green Skull, but someone else definitely mentioned the fact that you can, or something that would be something that you could go and watch a video, basically say, I haven't seen this part of the story from what's gone on with the, like with the books or the comics. It's like, okay, I know this stuff. I don't need to watch it. Just let me get into the campaign, or something that you go through. You watch the video so you can get caught up on what's gone on from the fiction that ties into the game's story.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that would be, I think a lot of people would benefit from that. I think that would clear up a lot of the confusion that was presented in Halo 4, because there were quite a few people that got lost, and even some of the people that read the books got lost on that, some on that kind of stuff. I think we had Goose Chica on at one point, and she said she got confused, and she read the Forerunner trilogy books and was still confused on a few of the things behind the Didact's reasoning for attacking Chief and attacking Earth. So I think just from the perspective of being able to clarify some of the things that go into the campaign story, and to just provide a medium by which you can get those people to be caught up that haven't read the books and haven't done the comics, I think that'd be very beneficial. And I hope they do something like that. I guess let's move on to some other stuff. We, I think that covers most of what we are expecting to see from E3, but there are, of course, little tidbits of things that I think people want to see. Is other than the big announcement, what do you guys want to see from E3 from Halo perspective? Like, do you want to see more books announced? Do you want to just get information on the upcoming games for this year, whether it be the Master Chief Collection or just Halo 2 Anniversary, more information on Halo 5? What's the kind of stuff that you guys are looking for? And this goes out to the chat room, too, so put in your answers, and we'll read them out here.
World domination. Oh,
not all Bungie. The above.
Yeah, let's see. As far as Halo goes, no spoilers, again, because I don't like spoilers. I don't usually read stuff online either, but yeah, I guess just a timeline for a little bit more of the Halo stuff that they have planned. TV show, etc. And maybe if they're gonna do like a Halo themed Xbox, that'd be cool if they announced that.
That'd be cool.
Oh yes, definitely.
I don't know. Yeah, just I guess that kind of stuff. No spoilers or game details would be fine with me. But yeah, that's all I got.
I think if they do show some kind of trailer, there are gonna be some kind of spoilers. Because I mean, if you look at the art that we got for the Halo 2 announcement, that in of itself is spoiler information right there. So you may not think of it that way, but it is revealing information about the game. And if you basically want to go spoiler free, then you're going to not look at news for the next year and a half.
Yeah, you're not going to look at Waypoint. You're not going to look at Twitter. You're not going to look at YouTube.
Yeah.
Reddit, Instagram.
I don't read Reddit. But yeah. Which Halo? You said Halo 2 what? Image?
No, the Halo 5 announcement image that we got.
Well, yeah, I guess. But there's still no really spoilers there. I don't know. It's all speculation, but I don't really know much about the Halo universe anyway, so I guess I'm kind of more in the dark. Sadly, okay. Or good, I don't know. Kind of sad.
Got it.
Well, on Halo 4's release, one of my friends on Live, he purposely avoided, anything that said Halo on it. He doesn't do Twitter, so that wasn't a problem. But, like on YouTube, he didn't even go on Waypoint for, the year between, the E3 they announced it and the launch date. So, whenever we were online playing, cause he didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear the speculation cause he wanted it all to be a surprise. So I had to keep my mouth shut anytime I was, playing Reach with him. And, that was really hard because, a lot of times we're playing in a group and, there's other people that will start the conversation and, you want to respond, but you want to, honor his wishes and not say anything.
Just be like, close your ears.
Yeah. Take your headphone off now.
Yes. Come back in 5 minutes.
I'll message you when it's safe.
But there's a difference between speculation and actual facts that have come out about the game.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, he wanted the whole experience to be a surprise. He literally wanted to put the game in the disk drive and not know anything about what was on that disk. He wanted the entire experience to be a surprise.
Well, tell him not to listen to Podtagler for the next year and a half, then, I guess.
Well, right now he's a little occupied with ROTC training, so he's not going to have a lot of time for the next year and a half.
Got it.
I would like to see something in facts. But on the other hand, I love it when they put out trailers. And listening to all the different people analyze the trailer and the just plethora of theories that show up off of this same piece of video.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
It's just look at all the theories that popped up off of one image.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine what an actual trailer is going to do.
It's just going to blow everything up.
frame analysis of every little detail.
It's happened every year.
Yep.
Every single one of the Vidocs that they put out for Halo 3, that Bungie put out for Halo 3, I forget which website it was, but they did a frame by frame analysis and posted it up on YouTube. All the commercials that they did, the Believe commercial, the one where, Chief was actually coming in and they pointed the target designate or the Spartan laser at him.
Landfall.
Landfall. They went frame by frame with that and analyzed that. And I'm like,
yep.
Okay.
About Landfall was cool though.
Oh, it was an awesome. The only one that beats it in my book is Believe. I love the Believe one.
That one is really cool.
With that diorama, mm-hmm. It's that one just absolutely blew my mind. And then I found out that diorama was real. I'm like, my God, that is one reason I would love to go up there just to see that thing mm-hmm. in person.
They had pieces of it at Halo Fest and it was really cool to see.
I know. I was here. It was there. Aww. It's 8 hours away. Was.
Aww.
But, I just, and if 343 were to do videos like that, that would be cool too, because it gave you hints, but it didn't really give you anything, hard fact.
It was basically just a promotional piece. It wasn't something that was meant to reveal too much about the story.
Even stuff like that is stuff that I love to see. If they were to, do something like that, which, you know, they may possibly be doing, but we will find out in a few days as to what they have really planned.
Oh, yeah.
I'm super hyped this year. I don't know. I'm always hyped about E3, but I'm just like watching the live stream on my couch and trying to keep my toddler away from me. No,
no, mommy's busy over there.
Yeah, stop screaming. I'm trying to listen to this.
Yeah, I have an 85 pound furry toddler.
Big dog.
Yeah. And he just loves attention. But yeah, going back to E3, I don't think they're going to announce any books. You know, I'm with Pens on that one, which he's in the chat. But you know, I hope in the next few weeks, you know, after the initial game hype is over, that maybe they announce a book. You know, just for the people that are really into the lore, so they have something a little more in depth to go between, you know, now and the Halo 5 release. But the biggest thing is for the game, I hope they do a better job of bringing you up to speed in the game without having to read all the side lore.
Well, I think from the books idea, a lot of that stuff, if I remember right, is often revealed at Comic-Con. And mm-hmm. Comic-Con is shortly after E3, so if we do get books, that's probably where we're going to see that information drop, is at San Diego Comic-Con. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. But I personally hope that they've got books coming. But you know, back to E3, a game trailer, and this E3 is really going to decide when I buy my Xbox One. Because if they announce Halo 2 on Xbox One, I'll probably have an Xbox One in the next 2 months.
I see.
Just go get one tomorrow, man. You know you want one.
Or just hit Blue Up. Apparently she can find Xbox on Craigslist like none other.
Yeah. I know. I saw that.
Well, it might cost a little bit to ship it.
Just a little.
$20.
Dust will take care of it. I'm sure he's got connections.
They only go so deep.
If if they announce Halo 2 for only the Xbox One, yeah, I'm definitely going to go get an Xbox One. If they which I don't think they'll do, if they announce it for 360 and Xbox One, I might wait on the Xbox One because I really want a Halo themed one.
I doubt they would do an announcement for Halo 2 anniversary on the 360 because they're going to want to push their new platform. That's what they did with Halo 2 on Vista. It's something that they're going to do for Halo 2 anniversary, I'm pretty sure, is push that product and make it to where it's on the Xbox One.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So probably in the next 2 months, I'm going to own an Xbox One. Then the big question is, do I get the one with or without Kinect?
With.
Without.
Oh, no. Another debate.
Listen to me. I'm just kidding.
Spare the paperweight.
Oh.
I thought you loved your Kinect.
It's sitting in my closet.
Oh, I guess you don't like your Kinect anymore.
I don't have any room on my desk, and I don't have any games that use it, so.
Yeah. Well, the reason I do think about the Kinect is because this Xbox One is going to live in my living room. And it's, it's going to be, hooked up to my, my 56 inch TV. And I think, the Kinect, I think that, I might be able to actually use the Kinect in there. Not only for me, but for my wife. There are certain things that, it can do that are handy when you're sitting on a couch. Not to mention that, now with the latest update on the Xbox One application that through the Kinect, you can use your phone as a universal remote to control, your cable box and your stereo. It is another added bonus. But, you know, for the one that I, you know, the Halo-themed one.
That the universal remote feature is not really universal, though. Only over HDMI.
Which, mine's HDMI.
But not all TVs support the control protocol for HDMI.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is I do run a, you know, I do run a cable box, and you know, my TV is it. I basically use my TV as a monitor. That's all it is. It doesn't really, it doesn't control volume. It doesn't change the channel. So I'm not worried about the TV. But the you know, the ability for the you know, connect to, with its IR blaster to control the cable box in my stereo. That is something that does interest me. Now, you know, if I'm going to put it up here in my office where I do most of my gaming, it'll be a connectless one.
Yeah, I think they updated Smart Glass 2, so you can do a little bit more with it now. I haven't really checked it out yet because I don't have a TV set up with it. But
yeah, they just pushed a big update to it because I just got it like 4 hours ago on my phone at least.
Okay, yeah. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, they had the update for the Surface and the Windows Phone a while ago, and then they just pushed the Android and iPhone one out today, I believe.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I should really check that out on my Surface. I really haven't connected it at all yet.
So, but yeah, that's, I guess that will be a good reason to pick up an Xbox One is for Halo 2 Anniversary.
It's the only reason.
It's the only reason.
Halo is the only reason to buy a new console.
I personally like Titanfall, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, Halo wasn't out yet. Because if Halo came out first, you would have bought it for Halo.
That is true. Well, no, I bought my console on launch day, so it wouldn't have mattered, really.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I don't have it out, like, 2 years later, like, I did with 360. I'm glad I'm finally at the beginning of a console generation.
Well, we haven't been through too many console generations for us.
Well, no, but still. Yeah, any game console I have, honestly, except for the Nintendo 64, I got like at least a year later. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
I got my first Xbox 360 with the launch of the Halo 3 Xbox. That was my first 360.
Yeah. I got mine shortly after that, so it was definitely closer to that point for just getting at Halo.
Yeah. So, and, yeah, you know, with the 360, you know, it was a small blessing in disguise with all the early problems they were having with the hardware. I was able to get one of the Halo 3 versions were a newer generation of them that didn't have as much problem with hardware failures.
That's good. Matter of fact,
my original one did finally give the red ring, but it was 2 years ago when it red ringed. But
I think I only had a red ring that happened to one console, and I paid $99 to get it fixed.
Yeah.
So if Halo 2 Anniversary comes out, which is very likely, then we will have someone else that has it. So very nice. I think that wraps it up for tonight. As far as kind of the stuff we can expect from E3, as far as some other news, there is a little bit of things that I want to kind of touch on. The there's a bundle right now at GameStop. So if you're still on the 360 side and haven't made the jump to Xbox One yet, you can grab every 360 version of the Halo titles that were made. So you can grab Halo 3, Halo 3 ODST, Halo Reach and Halo 4, all the Halo games that were made exclusively for the 360 for under $20 at GameStop right now. So go online, Google Halo Xbox 360 bundle from GameStop, and you can pick all four games up for a total of $18. 17 or 16, 20, 16, 19 if you're a Power Up Rewards member. So if you have a few games that you're missing from your collection and you want to go and grab them, then check out the bundle. It is used games. It's not new copies of the game. So if you're okay with used games, then go check it out and grab those titles while you still can.
Yeah, it's a crazy good deal.
So check that out. And also to wrap things up, we will do kind of a, something that we started last week. We're going to do a thread of the week. So this week is post is by Hossost again. So he's been kind of being active over there on the forums. The topic we're going to highlight is what Halo book or comic are you currently reading? So a few different responses to this. Some people are reading through the Escalation comics right now. Some people have been reading through the novels. So I think there was a response in here from reading the original trilogy of books. Someone just finished Mortal Dictata. Some people are reading some of the other Forerunner trilogy books and that kind of stuff. So again, if you aren't a member of our forums, I suggest you go over and check it out. And this one, this thread is in the Halo Universe forum, so go check it out if you are reading books and kind of share what you're reading right now. Pretty cool stuff. There was a discussion going on between a lot of us about Greg Bear's writing style and how it was, for lack of better words, interesting to get acquainted with his writing style in the Halo Universe. Have you guys read any of the Greg Bear novels?
Yeah, I've read all three of them. Well, I should say not read, listened. I mean, the first and the last book I really enjoyed. The pace of the book were very done very well. You know, the Primordium. Yeah, I'm with you that first three quarters of the book or two thirds of the book, it's an interesting story, but it's not really. It's not a fast paced, section of the books, but as far as his writing style, I enjoyed it. It's not my favorite of the, the Halo writers, but in my opinion, he did a good job.
I haven't read them yet. As you know, I've only read Fall of Reach so far.
Gosh, I'm going to have to send you some of the books to read.
I really want to read them. I went to Half Price Books, and they actually have a lot of them there. But I just need to go buy them and find time to read instead of game so much.
Got it.
I have audiobooks. That's how I find time to read them.
I can't do audiobooks. Well, they do not work for me.
Yeah, I do it. I listen to them on my drive to work. Because, I've got about a 30-minute drive to work and a 20 to 30-minute drive to work. So it works out really well. I haven't listened to an actual radio station in probably 3 years now, but I just listen to the audiobooks and podcasts. That works for me because I'm in the opposite of you, Dust. I start reading a book and next thing I know, I'm waking up 2 hours later. And it's not because the book's boring. It's just that I guess I can't operate my eyeballs and understand the words on the page at the same time and still stay conscious.
So how do you read the internet?
It's the bright light that keeps me awake.
Oh, so you need something like a Kindle Fire to help you read.
You know what? I never can get comfortable when I'm reading a book. It's really hard to do. So maybe I should just get the audio.
I mean, you can always buy one. And the nice thing is you can put your headphones in and, you can chase your toddler around while you listen to the book.
True. Or I can just blare it on the...
Or you just blare it on the stereo.
Bug my husband while he's working.
Oh, gosh. What have we started?
I won't do that.
It's not our fault. It was her idea, not ours.
Yes.
Bywolf in the chat is going a little crazy here. He says he reads and listens at the same time.
What?
Which I'm not exactly sure how is possible, but if you can do it, more power to you.
He lets the audiobook narrate the book to him.
Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of like the little...
I guess.
Some people are better at learning and stuff like that. They hear it and read it at the same time.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, you get those little book readers, for your young children. It works the same way.
Yep.
Exactly. Just at a higher level.
Fair enough. All right, guys. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I want to thank... Godzilla Todd and Blue M Cat for coming in and helping fill for Imbrint's absence tonight. hopefully he'll be around next week. I know he'll be helping me out with doing some of the posting for all the live stuff we'll be talking about and all the additional podcasts that we'll have. I'm going to try to do stuff once a day. I'm going to try to take a bunch of pictures, do videos, do podcasts, get interviews with people. So it shouldn't be a dull moment for Monday through Wednesday next week. And we may have some stuff on Thursday.
Awesome.
We are going to be, or at least I'm going to be, completely in over my head because it's going to be the first time, my first time for E3, and I'm super excited. I have to give huge and major props again to Bravo over at 343 for getting me hooked up with the Xbox press briefing pass and getting me hooked up with a media pass for E3. So huge props to him. I cannot thank him enough. He's been a blessing and a pleasure to work with over the last few months as he's been community manager, and he's been really good on getting our podcasts up, especially since we've had a good ramp up of new listeners and getting a lot of juicy information to talk about. So it's been good. And I hope it just continues to grow. And as part of that growth, we need some people on the forums to talk about stuff. So if you're listening to this and you haven't, please head on over to podtaggler.com, click on the forums button up there at the top, and sign up for our forums. We have about 40 registered members on there now, and we are still slowly growing. I think we get about a new member every day, or one or two members every day. So it is slowly growing. We have a few topics up there already, talking about some Halo 5 stuff, talking about the books, and some general Halo universe stuff, and there's more topics on the way that I have planned. All in all, it's a good place to be. There's some pretty cool people over there that have been talking some Halo 5 stuff and just speculating on what we could see and what people would want for Halo 5.
Join us.
Join us, yes. On top of that, you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/podtackler, Facebook, facebook.com/podtackler, and on YouTube, which we'll be posting a lot of our E3 videos that we'll be doing. That is youtube.com/podtacktv. So subscribe to that, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And for those that are listening to us after we do the live show, we do a live show. We do this show live on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is our normal show. Next week is going to be kind of all over the place. We may do live shows during E3. We may do some, we may do a live show on Thursday night. Not sure how that's going to go yet, but next week is going to be all over the place. Just stay tuned to Twitter. That's where you're going to be able to get the most updated information, and we will be posting stuff on the website as well. So, but Twitter is the best way to figure out what we're doing. That's where I post a lot of the updates, a lot of the stuff that's just outside the normal postings on the main site. So Twitter is your best bet. Shout outs to the podcast network, which we are a part of. Includes game-specific podcasts like Critzcast, which is the TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and a few other podcasts over there like How to Murder Time and Work in Progress, and Reachcast, which is a PlanetSide 2 podcast. So huge shout outs to them. They are some of the best gaming podcasts that I've listened to, and they're very good at what they do and cover subject matter very similar to how we do for Halo for their respective games. So check out the podcast network. That is thepodcast.com or podka.st for short. Check them out. They're really cool. And with that said, that is a wrap for tonight's podcast. We will be at E3 again. We will be at E3 hosting a bunch of stuff, from articles to interviews to videos to pictures. And we will be having an Instagram too. So as I go through the show floor, a lot of my instantaneous stuff is going to be posted up on a new Instagram that we have for Podtackler. It's instagram.com/podtackler. Most of the stuff is /podtackler, except for YouTube, because that was held by another member in the past, and that one's kind of long and lost at this point. So it's going to be good.
That's right. Pod TV is easier to type.
Well, it's Podtack TV, so it's a little more confusing, but anyways, that is it for the show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for coming out here. We will be going crazy next week, but and you won't want it. You won't want to miss it.
Nope. Be here. Or else.
like I said, my phone will be going nuts. I will have to take my battery charger to work because it's probably going to drain my battery.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to miss anything. Yeah, it's going to be a crazy week. I'm looking so forward to it.
I am so excited. So, until next time, guys, which will be plenty of times next week, keep on fragging E3.